Thanks for tuning in to the Bethany Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message helps you grow in your faith with Christ. If you'd like to find out more about what's going on at Bethany or give, you can visit us online at bethanysite.com or download our mobile app.
Good morning, Bethany. Yeah, it's so good to see everyone. Thank you for coming, and especially on the last Sunday of summer. I don't know if you realize it or not, you know, but next Sunday is Fall Sunday. So we're going into that period, but we've had the most beautiful September. And this weekend, we're really working on this idea of serving. And we're going to be looking at the scripture from 1 Peter 4. But before you do that, I wanted to talk to you about this idea of serving. I don't know if you noticed, but in the lobby we have a tent out there, and we have people out there that are signing people up for our fall program. We have all our ministries that are coming back and starting up that first week in October, and you may have gotten one of these, Get Connected, and these have all the different ministries that are going on, and we would like everyone to have some kind of a ministry responsibility and jump in. There's all kinds. This is kind of a long, extended commercial, so I just wanted you to know that we are ramping up for the fall, and we need lots of volunteers. Nursery and early childhood, you know, we need teachers and classroom helpers and nursery volunteers, and we would just love to have some people jump in. And elementary kids, we need Bible lesson leaders and small group leaders and worship leaders, and there's going to be people out there with the black t-shirts, and they'll be able to sign you up for that. Kids Club is starting on the first week of October, and that is using a WANA curriculum, and we need check-in helpers and class helpers and secretaries and also leaders, and we would love to have you do that. And that's a really important one because my wife leads that, so I'm emphasizing that, okay? So, and then we have a check-in team, and then we have Bethany students, and a student ministry is really important. We have fifth and sixth graders. It's one of our biggest departments. We call it 180, and there's just a huge amount. The junior high meets on Wednesday night and Sunday school, and it is needing some leaders. And then high school, we're needing leaders for that, and we will train you. And one of the things that we have is our philosophy is we have a student ministry philosophy where we establish relationships, and then the pace of relationship is also the pace of sharing the gospel, and it's very effective, and we would love to have some people come alongside and learn how to do that. And then just some areas to jump in if you're not used to working at a church or jumping in and helping in ministry is just some connection team stuff where you can start to learn to know some people. We need door greeters, people working at the coffee shop. By the way, the coffee is really good, you know, so you'd be trained and it'd be awesome. And then greeters, we need greeters and seaters, you know, the ushers. And then we would love to have some more people at the welcome desk. And the welcome desk is really cool because you get to meet people and you get to see people come up to you and ask questions. And then a creative team. We do have quite a bit of worship and art, so we need musicians and vocalists and worship leaders and graphic and video people and designers and photographers. We would love to have you, if you have any of those skills, to check it out and go up to that tent after the service. And then production team, we need video switchers. I have no idea what that is. You know, I just imagine going out and cutting a peach switch and, you know, and switching people that are doing the video. I don't know what that is, but, you know, people that are techie know that. Sound engineers, lighting, camera operators, you know, all those kind of things. And we would love for you to sign up. And if you are just brand new to Bethany, one of the ways to get to know people and to start serving is to jump in and start serving, even if you're not totally sure this is going to be your church, or even if you don't know for sure that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we would still like you to start moving in that direction. So before we look at 1 Peter, I wanted to do the Lord's Prayer together. We're in this series called The Upside Down Kingdom, and the Lord's Prayer has the mention of the kingdom of God twice. So if you'd stand with me, we're going to say it together. And this is from the NIV, 2011, And so if you're a King James person, you haven't memorized in King James, this is really going to bug you. But, you know, we just kind of hang in there as we say it together. Let's begin. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. So last week, Pastor Josh taught on the theme verse from Mark 10. And it's this idea that it's an upside down kingdom, and Jesus Christ came to serve and not to be served. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus referring to himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you begin moving in that direction, one of the things that he calls us to is for us to serve, to be part of that serving that he does. And if you'd look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm going to look at verse 10 and 11. Later we'll turn to Romans 12. But I want to look at these two verses and just talk about this idea of serving and the idea of the God empowering us with spiritual gifts. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I really love this scripture because it simplifies the spiritual gifts. There's a lot of controversy over charismatic gifts or sign gifts, and there's lots of different takes on how these gifts are applied. And so I find it really enlightening for me and simple for me because it divides it up into basically two types of gifts. There's serving gifts, and then there's speaking gifts. And one of the things that emphasize here is that the gifts are not given to us for ourselves. They're given for us to serve others. Look at verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. And so this is the idea that we serve other people, and that's what serving is about. And it's for his glory. It's for his honor. And then this is the idea that you're to use your gift. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And that word gift in the original language is where we get the word charisma or charismatic. And it basically is just the idea of a gift. And so God gives us gifts. Each Christian is given a spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit is the one that distributes them. And we have these spiritual gifts that, you know, are, you know, used to build up what we call the church, the body of Christ. And this analogy, each one of us has a body. And so the body of Christ is built up by us using our gifts and putting them to use. So if you have not discovered your gift, or you don't know what gift you have, or you're not sure, I want you to know that as you begin to serve, you know, you start praying, and then God will begin to show you. Or you take step three, that we have a step three in our growth track that helps people discover, you know, what gifts they have. And then it says for us to be faithful stewards. Verse 10 again, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And the word steward there is a compound word in the original language. It's the first part of it is the idea of a house. You know, it's a dwelling. And then the second part is the idea of a manager. And so this is the idea of being a house manager. It's the idea of being an administrator of your gifts that God's given you. And I found as I've gotten older, I have less and less energy. I had way more energy in my 20s and 30s than I do, you know, in my 60s. And I want you to know that I have to really manage, you know, my giftedness along with my energy. And one of the things I've done is learn to say no to a lot of stuff that I used to do and focus on the stuff that only I can do as the senior pastor and try to stay in that realm. And it's one of the things, if you have a giftedness and you've been given a spiritual gift, as you begin to use it and discover it and begin to apply it, one of the things that happens happens is you learn to be energized. When I preach, I am energized. I love to preach. I love that. But I also know that I'm more tired when I go home. And, you know, that gives me an excuse to lay on the couch and watch football. So, just joking. So, well, not that much. So, it's divided, this passage, into speaking gifts and serving gifts. And if anyone speaks, verse 11, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And it's for his glory. And what comes to mind immediately for me is John the Baptist, this great prophet, also a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he baptized Jesus, when he talked about Jesus, one of the things that he said was, I must decrease and he must increase. And one of the things as people grow in maturity as Christians, they follow Jesus, they find that Jesus is increased in their life and they become decreased and he becomes the one that gets all the glory. And the gifts are given for us to serve others and bring praise to God. So the speaking gifts, verse 11, if anyone speaks, they do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And so if you have one of the speaking gifts, you're a teacher, you have the gift of prophecy, you have the message of wisdom or the message of discernment or the message of knowledge. If you have any of those kind of gifts, you're an evangelist, any of those kind of speaking gifts, notice it's to be spoken as if you're speaking the very words of God. So for me, I claim the spiritual gift of prophecy. And my dad first noticed that and said, you know, I think you have more than being a pastor, you have the gift of prophecy. And there's two parts to prophecy. One of them is foretelling, where you can tell the future and you can, you know, tell people what's coming. And I don't have that part of the gift at all. Or otherwise, I would play the stock market like crazy, okay? I don't have that at all. But forthtelling is teaching God's word. And the idea of the prophecy gift in preaching is that when you preach, people hear God speaking to their heart. That when you begin to speak, they quit hearing George and they hear God. And sometimes people all of a sudden, they're not even listening to me anymore. And God is speaking to them and they're writing down notes. And they get something totally different than what my message was aimed at, because there's this idea that there's a prophetic voice in that. And this is the thing, that with all the speaking is you are speaking the words of God. So you need to be very careful that your life matches up with your testimony. It matches up with your words. And it's very important that we and those speaking understand that God has given us a very important and precious gift. Serving gifts. This is the other part that I just love. Serving gifts is probably the gifts that my wife is most excellent at. She has serving gifts of helps and hospitality and serving. And probably one of her biggest one that's grown and grown and grown in her is mercy. And she has mercy that is just amazing. She's very sensitive to things on TV. She's very sensitive to people. We come home and we talk about church, and she'll say, did you see so-and-so? They looked a little bit down. Did you see so-and-so? I think they're going through a hard time. They didn't say anything, but did you pick that up? Did you see that? Did you hear that inflection in their voice? And me like, no, you know? And she just picks up stuff that I don't and points that out. And one of the things of these gifts is that we need them desperately in the church. If you have the gift of mercy, it is so important. It's so wonderful. If you have the gift of helps, and if you have the gift of administration, if you have the gift of leadership, these so important. And serving gifts are really to the praise of God, because it's amazing. Secondary gifts is, many times God gives us a primary gift. Like for mine, I told you it's prophecy. It's in the preaching. But I also have some secondary gifts. And one of my biggest secondary gifts is encouragement. Now, one of the things that I do is I get to encourage people, and maybe it's because of my position, but I get to go around and just encourage people. And we go to a party, and we go to someone's house, or we go on a hospital visit. Elaine always says to me, now remember, we're going there, and you need to encourage some people. This is the mission. You're going to encourage. And one of the things about these gifts is that you begin to exercise them as you recognize them. And secondary gifts are really, really important. And then beyond secondary gifts is just jobs. There's just jobs. And sometimes in the ministry, you're just doing jobs. And one of the examples for us is we have a community group. And in our community group, I get to, share the Bible, and we get to use encouragement, and I get to use all that. Elaine gets to use mercy and serving and all that. But we also have to clean the house before people come. And because of Elaine's back, I get the job of vacuuming and vacuuming the stairs. And I wouldn't tell you, I have the special gift of vacuuming, I would gladly give it up if they come up with an AI, robot that can do it for me. I would just think it was fabulous. And there's just something amazing about sometimes we just have jobs that we have to do. And in the church, sometimes there's just jobs that need to get done. And it allows us to do that ministry. If you'd turn with me to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, I just want to look at verses 4 through 8. You're probably wondering, how did he get there so fast? And I have the spiritual gift of paper clips in here. So let me read verses 4 through 8 and then also 11. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Let me just stop there for a moment and talk about this idea of the body. It's one of the most common analogies that's used in the New Testament to describe the church. And each one of us has a human body. Each one of us understands that we live in these bodies. And the church is called the body of Christ. That each one of us are members of the body of Christ. And just as we each have members of our bodies, we have fingers and hands and feet and mouth and ears. And we have all these different members. And so this is the idea that each of us is a member that has a function. We don't all have the same function. Ears aren't the same as mouths and fingers aren't the same as feet. But there's something that's important that each of us, all of us together, form the body of Christ. And we have different gifts, various gifts. Notice it says in verse 6, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. And if it's encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. Is it to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. And when you have a list here, it's not a complete list, but when we have this list, there's something so important about prophecy, but also serving, and it's important about teaching. We need teachers here at Bethany. We need teachers, especially in our children's and student ministries. And then encouragement. We need people that know how to encourage. One of the things that people need in this culture is encouragement. And then giving generously. One of the things about people that have the gift of generosity is that they lead the church in giving because it just comes so naturally. They can't help but give. They just have such a generous spirit and they have such a generous way. And the generosity is amazing. And then leading. And my dad used to call leaders sergeants. And then we need sergeants, the ones that organize and lead a team. And the sergeants are really, really important. Many times you have lots of people that are willing to help, but the one that carry the weight is many times are the leaders, the ones with the gift of leading, and they see the need and they understand the need. They know how to organize and they lead and they do it diligently. And then mercy. I already talked about that, but Elaine is such a cheerful gal. My wife is so cheerful. And yet at the same time, she has such an ability to have mercy and to read people and to care about people. And she just is amazing that way. And way more than me because, I just miss those clues lots of times. And then this verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And the main meaning of that is, you know, don't burn out. You know, don't just get so busy doing it in your own strength that you don't do it in the Lord. And this is the idea that when we're given spiritual gifts, we're energized by God to do them. But people can get too stretched out. But the secondary meaning is that that we can get so involved with other things that we get taken away from that original fervor serving the Lord. And we see people coming out of the COVID getting just so totally politicized, you know, and the politics is everything, and left and right, and I've been called all kinds of names. Some of the fun names are all seem to start with S, snowball, sheep, you know, all those kind of things. Some other ones with S that are terrible, but I've been called all those kinds of names, and one of the hardest things is to direct Christians who are getting away from the fervor of serving the kingdom of God and serving man's kingdom, is they need to stay that spiritual fervor of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are other kinds of gifts too. There's all kinds of gifts. There's the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, and there's discernment and faith and helps. And then in Ephesians 4, some theologians don't take it this way, but I kind of take it this way. And there's the what we would say is APEST. You know, that's an acronym for apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And one of the things about that is that church planters and missionaries are apostles, small a, not big A. I don't believe there's any more Peter and John's big A. I know some denominations do. And then there's prophets in the sense that I've talked to you about prophecy. And then evangelists, sometimes evangelists, you know, can be like the Billy Grahams, you know, of the world. But also there's the ones that just lead people in their neighborhood to Christ and lead, you know, their Girl Scout clubs, and they start leading people to Christ. There's just something wonderful. And then shepherds is this idea of shepherding people and helping people and pastoring people. And then teachers, this is the idea that they teach the Word of God and they teach it faithfully. So the question is, how do you get started? How do you get started? And the one way is you just start volunteering and learn what your spiritual gift is. You may not know until other people say, oh, I think you have this gift. And I had to be told by my dad. You know, it's so amazing how the body of Christ, other people affirm your gift. It isn't you discovering, oh, I have this. I need to invite a special guest up and talk about a life of service. And so I want to invite my wife, Elaine, to come on up here. This is my wife, Elaine Bedlian. You can give her a big hand. So we're going to talk about serving. We've had a life of service over 40 years in the ministry, and we served even before that. So tell me how you got involved in serving.
First of all, good, I'm on. Okay. How I got involved in serving. Well, I was 15 years old. Well, I was raised in the church as a kid. You know, I was in the nursery on up. But at 15, I had a gal who was in charge of the Vacation Bible School come up to me and say, Elaine, we need some helpers. We need some teachers. Are you willing to help? And, you know, I hardly knew how to respond, except of course I said yes, but in my heart I felt vulnerable, I felt unworthy. I thought, I don't know enough to be able to do this. This is crazy. And then I found out later that there was another gal that was going to help me, and she's my age now. She was in her 60s or maybe 50s or whatever, and she came alongside and was my helper. But I thought, why isn't she teaching? Why can't I just be the helper? But that was a learning experience for me that was really exciting. And then after that, I was asked to help in the, we called it junior church rather than kids church, but we called it junior church. And so I said yes again, but again, very felt vulnerable, just very, you know, unknowledgeable. I feel like I didn't know enough. But yep, I said yes, and I stepped up to it and went and taught in junior church.
So what surprise happened when you taught children's church?
Well, it was really cool, but it was also stressful, is that I had seen this man, George Bedlian, in high school. We had We had choices for classes that we could take, and he was in several of the classes that I was in. And I saw him, but he really didn't notice me. But wouldn't you know, the same person that asked me to teach in junior church asked him. So I go walking up the stairs and go in, and there was this guy, George Bedley, in there. So that made me nervous, but also was exciting. So.
Yeah, just, and I was like, plug. Oh, this serving is great, you know?
There's some perks, I guess.
And then her mom was my dad's secretary, and she hadn't put that together, and I didn't put it together till later.
Yeah, I didn't understand the idea of junior and whatever he is, junior and senior. I just knew that my mom worked for a George Bedleyan, and I knew this guy was George Bedleyan, and that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that's okay.
Yeah, so that was interesting is that Elaine and I started serving, and then we just started serving the rest of our time till we got married. I think when we met, she was 15 and I was 16, and we didn't get married till 20 and 19, so we were really older then.
Yeah.
So tell me, what's it been like, or tell me about a life of service, you know, all these years.
Wow, a life of service. He covered a lot of really good scripture there, that when you're a believer and you're a child of God, it's just what you do. You serve. It's the body of Christ, and it's scary. It can be hard. It could be, you know, you learn a lot in serving. You learn to have a really good prayer life. You get, you know, for me, you're praying for the kids. I happen to be in the kids department. But as you know, there's needs everywhere. Like he said, there's jobs. And sometimes you just don't know what to do, but you just jump in and you get involved, and then you find out where God wants you after that, because you'll start seeing you'll start becoming comfortable. But it's so important to serve. That's just a part of the life. It's ingrained in you.
And then tell me about raising our kids to be serving and servants.
Yeah, that was another perk that pinch me. I had kids that didn't mind helping in children's church. They loved to come to church. I'd heard a lot about PKs, pastor's kids, not really enjoying doing ministry. And I think that's so unfortunate, and it makes me sad. But my kids loved it, and they would come and help me. They looked forward to doing like puppet shows for the kids or helping me with the story time, and they found it a joy. In fact, they helped me. I still feel insecure, you guys. I've done this for years, and every time I step up to do something or do any kind of teaching, I still feel vulnerable. I still feel like I'm the kid and I'm still learning, but God does it. You just pray, God, it's you. It's not me. It has to be you, because I'm not doing this for myself. And I think that instilled that into the kids too. They, to this day, are all in ministry of some sort.
So what gifts would you claim for yourself?
Well, I think you already hit it. You heard it, you know. Oh, I think mercy and the, definitely gift of helps. I always say I'm gifted in a lot of things, but I'm the master of none. I don't know to do things really super well, but if there's a need, I'll step up. And some of you may identify with that. Others of you may have specific personality that God has created in you. And then as you step in to help, you'll find out, that's just not me. That's okay. God's going to work in you to find the right spot.
And you've done children's ministry since you were 15. So that was like almost 40 years of being a...
It's almost scary to realize. Feel like you should have arrived. You don't ever arrive. You just do this.
And forever. So you've done Kids Club, Awana, for over 30 years, being the commander in different churches. So tell us about teaching Kids Club and leading Kids Club.
I just love it. And, of course, I'm going to push that because I'm the commander of it. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. But for me, for Kids Club, there's such a variety. I mean, we have, you know, people that meet you at the door. We got the people checking you in at the kiosks. We have the hot dog servers. We have people that are helpers that listen to verses, that teach. Others will teach. Others, or some do it all. You know, I have a lot of leaders. I want to mention we're a team. And I didn't mention this in the first service. And to me, that word team, when it's a healthy team, it's wonderful. I can almost cry. And I'll try not to talk about it too much. But talk about vulnerability. You can't do it on your own. And I say that if you're going to help in somewhere, you keep your eyes out for that person that you think could really use someone to come along and alongside and be the encourager that they need. We need encouragement. Leaders need encouragement. And it's just necessary. And then as you step up, you don't know what God's going to do in you. And I know a lot of people that have helped start out. And I don't want to scare anybody, but you start out doing one thing and you end up doing a lot more than you thought you could. And it's like, wow. But the responsibility is heavy on the shoulders, but you know it's Christ that gives you strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that has been my verse throughout since I was 15.
Yeah, Elaine is so desirous of helping. She jumps in and helps all the time in all different kinds of areas and stuff. And we used to have, before the COVID, we'd take our community group and we'd go to the armory and feed the homeless like once a month. And we were coming up on this date, and that night I wasn't feeling very good. And I said, I think I'm going to stay home. I got a stomachache. I just can't do that. And she said, oh, no, you're not. You are coming. You're the leader in our community group. You are going. And I said, well, I'm really not feeling good. Oh, come on. You know, so I went, you know, and then I had this really pouty look on my face because my stomach was really hurting. And she goes, well, would you brighten up? Would you get a smile, you know? Would you encourage somebody just thinking about yourself? And I said, well, my stomach is really hurting, you know? She says, oh, just think about what you're doing for others and you won't hurt so bad, you know? So later that night, she finally took me to the emergency room and I had my appendix taken out.
I have the gift of mercy, obviously. We are kind of hard on our families.
So there's just something wonderful about having that life of service and serving the body of Christ. And
can I mention one thing?
Yeah.
Something that was going through my mind earlier, and I could get a little emotional about this, but I'll try to say it. But my dad's turning 99 in about a week or two, and some of you met him, and he's really wondering why God still has him around. Like, why? I want to go and be with my wife. Why am every morning he wakes up, well, I'm still here, you know? But the cool thing is that he and I talk about, Dad, continue doing your purpose. Continue doing what God has created you to do. And he loves sharing Christ with people. So that rest home that he's in, I know that everybody knows what he stands for. But the cool thing is that, and I tell him, we remind each other, let's not be an irritant, but we want to focus on leading people to Christ to have the relationship. We can't be hitting them on the head with it. But he has been so good about going out and saying, if you need someone to pray with, I'm here, you know. And people have. They've come to his room and said, could you pray for me? And he feels useful that way. And your father was a great prayer warrior. He used to pray even in the place that he was at, the home care that he was at. And
you just better do it something good about my dad.
But there is something about do it till you die. You just keep going. And even like there's seasons in life. I know I can only say so much here, but there's seasons in life that God guides you through that's exciting and scary. And as you leave one season, you might do something for a while. And then I say, don't stop for long. If you decide that, okay, teaching, I'm done with that. I think I need to move on to something else. Always move on to something else. There's always something. Even if you do greeting for a while or you do ushering, then until you land on the next thing that you're going to do, unless you stay there, that's good too.
And one of the ways to start, how do you get going, is we have a tent out there. If you haven't served at Bethany, if you maybe you're not even a Christian yet. You're a pre-Christian, but, you know, you're hearing God's voice. We would love to have you start working in ministry because you begin to make friends and God's Spirit begins to work in you. You begin to see his hand. And we have a tent out in the lobby that you can sign up and talk to them about the different ministries. And we also have a step 3 on our growth track that actually helps people discover their spiritual gift and discover how God's designed them in the unique way. So, Elaine, would you mind closing us in prayer? Let's have everyone stand, and Elaine's going to bless and pray for everyone.
Yeah, bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your love. I thank you that we have you as our example and the one that we could look to. Father, everyone in this room and everyone at Bethany, Father, you have created in a special way. I just pray that you'll help each one have courage to step out and to lean on you and be directed by you. I know that there could be some fears. There could be a lot of other things going on in our minds, insecurities. Oh, Father, let them find that spot to serve and start learning how to be obedient to you and enjoy the joy that comes from it. We just look forward to what you're going to do in our lives and what you're going to do here at Bethany and into the community. In Jesus' name, amen.